Okay, welcome everybody to Wednesday's Eagles Report. I am the co-host. Roger is not here today. He is dealing with a massive cyber attack on all four of his networks. He called me about, 1 p.m. and said he may not be able to make it. They've been trying to change servers over and dealing with passwords and codes and all whatever it takes to put four networks out on servers. They're trying to find servers. They're switching servers because they, I don't know whether they got hacked or whether they just some sort of a cyber attack. But I think they are dealing with it and probably going to be dealing with it for the rest of the day. So he said he was not going to be able to do Eagles Eye Report today. You're going to have to hear me rant. I don't know if I can rant as good as Roger can, but I do have some material to rant about. All of this material is on the Liberty Beacon network, of course. And I am going to get to write my own article to put up on Liberty Beacon tomorrow and make the podcast and put the archive up and be a contributor to the Liberty Beacon. Not just a co-host on the show, but also a contributor. So I'm going to have to keep that in mind and do that more often, I think. What do y'all think about that? Get your thoughts. No Roger today, just me. What I am first going to be talking about, first I want to say a little bit about the Georgia Guidestones getting blown up, or I don't know whether it's apparent it was some sort of a bombing, some sort of a missile attack, or I don't know. Some were even theorizing it could have been a lightning strike. That's I guess that's plausible. I don't really know what the deal is. I guess time will tell. But supposedly some of the Georgia Guidestones have been destroyed. 42 years after they were commissioned and erected down there in Georgia somewhere. I don't remember where it was now, but what the Guidestones are, if nobody's ever heard of those, they are stones, monoliths in 12 different languages that tell of the great culling of the Earth's population, the filthy elite are tired of us useless eaters because we don't put them on a pedestal high up and praise them as the gods that they want to be, the gods with the little g, of course. They want to be the gods with the big g, but they'll settle for the little g gods. But obviously we're not acquiescing to that part of their wishful thinking. And they do want to cut down the world's population from the alleged 8 billion down to a manageable 2 billion by the year 2050. And I think the conspiracy goes that they want it cut down to a half of a billion, 500 million by the year 2090 or somewhere in that vicinity. But I think a lot of people are actually taking that conspiracy theory in air quotes a little bit further, and they actually only need about 500,000 of us to do their bidding. Just the handful of families, the 13 families and their minions that do their bidding. That's probably all they need, is 500,000 of us useless eaters to be their thug police officers and their policy enforcement officers, I guess I should say. But enough of that pontificating. try to get on to the show here. The first article that Roger wants me to go over is on the Liberty Beacon Network, libertybeacon.com. It's called Whatever Happened to Don't Be Evil. Written on July 5th by Michael Singer. Whatever happened to Don't Be Evil? The days of Don't Be Evil appear to have been left far behind. Big tech platforms now routinely side with raw state or corporate power. In the mid-18th century, a secretive political group began spreading dangerous conspiracy theories throughout Britain's colonies. British subjects had long enjoyed the freedom of expression. But these radicals abused novel communication platforms to churn out seditions, literature not often grounded in fact, even resorting to threats and violence that endangered those around them. I'm going to pass this. Hopefully it will come up in everybody's feed if they do want to follow along or read it at their leisure, whatever the case may be. I actually had trouble bringing it up when I went to the link, so I had to go to thelibertybeacon.com and look for the article. I don't know if that's changed from the last hour or so, but if you want to follow along. According to their wild theories, a series of modest taxes levied by Parliament actually represented an incremental process to strip away their rights. They had no evidence to back their claims. After they arranged one of the costliest acts of vandalism in the history of the empire, Parliament very reasonably invoked a state of emergency to protect the public. Okay, so it's coming up on your end, everybody. That's good. Yet characteristically, rather than raising their objections through proper legal channels, these extremists co-signed a document penned by one of their most wily and manipulative agitators, falsely claiming to speak for all the colonists in declaring themselves above the law. Well, you know, I'm going to put forth a few opinions here and there, of course, like I always do whenever I read anything, whether it's a book or something like this. I probably should just read and then go back, but I believe, I haven't read the most of this yet, but I believe he is talking about the pre-Revolutionary War America, the colonies, and the people that wanted to break away from King George of England. They did call those people, they called them terrorists, they called them vandals, they called them treasonous, they called them all kinds of names. Just like they're calling patriotic people today in the deceptive mainstream media of today. And they had their deceptive medias back in that day also. In a helpful rebuttal, Governor Thomas Hutchison thoroughly debunked the document, outlining the many false and frivolous claims in this list of imaginary grievances. Its signatories relying on spurious overtures to what they called the natural rights of mankind to evade substantive argument. Hutchison noted the signers' racism, depriving more than 100,000 Africans of their rights to liberty, discrediting their appeals to so-called natural rights as well as the absurdity to making the governed to be governors, a laughable contradiction. Yes, how could anyone possibly, that doesn't call themselves government, take control of their own actions and take control of their own life. That's just absurd, I guess. Moreover, the document was misleading. The real design was to reconcile the people of America to that independence. The signers even referred to their sovereign as a tyrant, a profanity for which indignant resentment must seize the breast of every loyal subject. The empire had always been about saving lives, after all, even if it occasionally fell a bit short. That's always been the monarchy's choice. And they have pit one class against the other, going back as far as ancient Mesopotamia, back 5,000 to 6,000 plus years ago. Every society has pitted someone against another to throw a red herring out there and throw the blame on something else. A red herring is bringing up a different subject or bringing up a different deception to blame on someone else. And a red herring is a logical fallacy, and that also is an invalid argument. In this story, most readers now recognize the birth of a nation's oldest democracy and the modern constitutional republic. But perhaps those who presently govern the mega platforms, collectively referred to as big tech, on which most online discourse now takes place, take it as a warning of what can go wrong if citizens are permitted to freely express their beliefs. I believe it was, what's his name? The writer of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. His name escapes me, but he was attributed to have said, if voting actually meant anything, they wouldn't allow us to do it. They do not allow us to have a choice of either freedom or being in the collective, and they haven't since the onset of time, where these narcissistic people that claim that they are royalty, and yes, they do think that they have special blood, I keep harking on every single week, their biggest lie they have to keep hidden is they have no authority over us. They only have brainwashed minions. And that's my belief. That's what I'm going to try to teach from now on. And I do still want to... Oh, I did forget to thank you. Or maybe I did thank you earlier, Mom, and all the others who did write to David Strait on my behalf. I did send another email, and I haven't heard from anything yet, but not going to give up on that, because I do believe what he is effectively teaching people is to take back their sovereignty. I think he did, in the presentation that I did yesterday, he did happen to mention that everybody is born sovereign. And everyone is tricked into, by their birth certificate, when their mother signs the birth certificate, or if the mother happens to die, then the father is going to have to sign the birth certificate, or whatever the case is. Whoever signs the birth certificate signs over your sovereignty and signs over your power, signs over your rights. And in contract law, all contracts can be amended or broken if they are signed fraudulently. And being coerced, for lack of a better word, and and a parent signing over the birth certificate is fraud. I don't know when, but the governments of the world did sign into what's called law many, many, many years ago that police can lie to you, federal agents can lie to you, judges can lie to you, prosecuting attorneys can lie to you, defense attorneys can lie to you. They can lie to you, but you had better not lie to them, not even once, that's for sure. And that lie is to keep you in this virtual slave-driven system. As strangely low an ethical standard as it was, the days of don't be evil appear to have been left far behind. Big tech platforms now routinely side with raw state and corporate power, showing a disregard, bothering, and outright disdain for the rights and the welfare of human beings whom their actions affect. The recent history of big tech is a history of repeated usurpations, all demonstrating as their direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the people. And these big tech platforms, they are run by the same families and the same corporations that run the governments. So that's why they can claim this power over you and this authority over you, and that's how they can censor you. Because you are just a little nothing, and we are government. You can't do for yourself. So we have to coddle you, and we have to do for you. That's their basic argument. And, you know, for the most part, you can think of, sure, there's going to be a lot of people that need to be told what to do because of their family upbringing, or whatever the case is, their lack of moral standing, that they do have to be governed. But I do believe for the most part, most of the world's people do not need a master, do not need to be governed. Those are just my thoughts, everyone. I know, but maybe you can throw me a different answer. Throw me a different debating platform, or not a platform, but a different debate. Big tech platforms openly disavow any role in abiding by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, to which all American citizens owe a duty, and to which any person who chooses to become an American citizen must swear an oath to uphold and defend. They censor centuries-old news organizations for publishing true, factual, and timely information. Big tech platforms Big tech platforms routinely censor the legal speeches of citizens, concealing the rationale behind their decisions and applying their terms of services selectively, if at all. They mislead the public as to the scale and scope of this censorship, systematically silencing the most articulate voices on one side of any given debate, unbeknownst to the vast majority of the public. You see, here we're getting into the appeal to authority argument. And the appeal to authority argument is a logical fallacy, which is also an invalid argument. The people that are censoring are claiming that you are being hurtful. You are being politically incorrect. As a lot of us know, a lot of former tyrants in the past have done this too. Vladimir Lenin was one particular leader that started this politically correct movement, or he championed it. He was one of the better known first leaders to do this. And what he championed, what he claimed was politically incorrect speech, was against anything that went against communism. In the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution, the Bolsheviks, after they took over Russia, they actually passed a law that anyone that spoke out against Russia or communism was arrested and sent to Siberia, or just outright killed for treason. I'm sure that there are tyrants in today's American government that want to do that also, both in prison and just outright try for treason. I think some of the fine, outstanding Democratic leaders have voiced this opinion. Big tech platforms openly collude with governments to suppress the speech of their own people, while overtly abusing the legal system and paying massive settlements to conceal the evidence of their collusion. They craft the false illusion of consensus on political issues of their own choosing, a power unprecedented in any democracy and historically held only by the most despotic regimes, promising in their own instance to wield it for good, but falling short every time. And I'm going to take a little 10-second break here and get something to drink. I feel a frog in my throat. And I did forget to mention that I'm on PSN Radio and Southern Florida Radio also, as well as Shake and Wake Radio. All of the stations are listener-supported, everyone, so hit that donate button if you like what we're doing. As I am listener-supported. I was going to say something about that last paragraph, but I lost that thought. I can come back to it if I do remember that thought. Big tech platforms deploy artificial intelligence to censor and deboost citizens and opposing viewpoints with increasingly inhuman detachment and efficiency. They retain as leading AI experts on their boards of directors personnel with deep and well-documented ties to the militaries of the world's worst dictatorships. I'm not so sure. Well, it probably is. They probably are ties to the worst dictatorships. But who are these worst dictatorships? Joe Bob over there in the District of Criminals, our puppet in chief. And the wonderful mass media, they seem to fawn over the CCP, Communist Chinese Party. And they don't really pull no bones about that either. Many of them, including a so-called Republican that's running for senator over there in Pennsylvania. What's his name? The doctor. one of the TV doctors. He seems to fawn over the Chinese style of social media and the stronghold that the Chinese have on it. He wants the censorship. I can't remember his name. Who can remember? Somebody give me a hint, please. That's terrible. I've got his name right on the tip of my tongue, but I've lost it. I don't remember now. Big tech platforms routinely apply fact check labels to true stories and information based on... I know, Annie. That's okay. Big tech platforms routinely apply fact-check labels to true stories and information based on unrelated contextual issues. Manipulating political narratives by deceiving the public into believing that the pertinent information is itself false. Meanwhile, they ignore large-scale bot and astroturf campaigns affecting political outcomes over all the world, despite harrowing accounts from whistleblowers, while misleading the public as to the frequency, scale, and purpose of these bot and astroturf campaigns. Somebody can just search it up if they could. He's running for the Pennsylvania Republican Senate. He's a TV doctor. I think everybody will know him. Except I can't remember his name. Big tech platforms censor the voices of most well-qualified citizens under the Orwellian pretext of combating misinformation, drowning their views with those disinformation agents and bots. Meanwhile, they anoint the experts as... Yes, Dr. Oz, thank you. They anoint the experts, those who hold no relevant qualifications to the designated field, after their groveling deferences to the viewpoints of big tech, who then regularly publish falsehoods without repudiation. I'm sorry, retribution. Big tech platforms employ managers who accept bribes to censor political dissidents fighting against the world's deadliest regimes, to whom they show obsequious deference. They bear a growing resemblance to organized crime syndicates, submitting fake statements to the highest courts of law, while hiding behind an unlimited legal budget and courtesy PR campaigns replete with amorphous birds and round lowercase letters to escape legal scrutiny. Yes, be nice, Annie. This is no far-off dystopia. As rapidly as they're transpiring, these things are already happening. And this is the reality of the world that big tech has created today, given their systemic suppression of dissent against lockdowns, which ultimately killed over 170,000 Americans and countless millions more around the world. It's hard to think of an ostensibly private enterprise since British East India Company that's been responsible for more widespread human suffering. Much of this behavior is surely being coerced by the federal government. Just as the East India Company was largely doing the bidding of the British government. But big tech might want to ask how well just following orders worked as a defense in 1945. I conclude with the words of another individual who ultimately came to sign the radical 18th century document, but other than whom no man ever fought harder for peace. Look upon your hands. They are stained with the blood of your relations. You and I were long friends. You are now my enemy, and I am yours. And it doesn't give the author of that quote, of that attributed quote. So we are just about at the half hour, and I just finished that first article there. So I'm going to take a little, I'm going to put the TLB Talk promo and a short song on and come back for a little bit more, everyone. Be right back in about 3.5 minutes.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, and welcome back. The next article I'm going to read and speak about on LibertyBeacon.com is how mainstream media secretly carries out assignments for the CIA. Written today, let's see, written today, huh? Oh, it just says posted by TLB staff. I guess there isn't an author yet. Or maybe there is. It does say analysis by Dr. Joseph McCullough. How mainstream media secretly carries out assignments for the CIA. The anti-disinformation industry is about controlling the population and hiding truths of plans for a one-world government. Story at a glance. The anti-disinformation industry has nothing to do with protecting a gullible public from information that might cause them to make bad or unhealthy choices. It's about creating and directing a narrative for the purpose of controlling the population and hiding truths that might overthrow the ruling cabal and its plans for a one-world government. You see, I've thought for a long time that the media is just the paid prostitutes that divulge what the government wants divulged. And they do want to control the narrative. They have to control the narrative because otherwise they can't control you if they don't control the narrative. In 1948, the CIA's Office of Special Projects launched Operation Mockingbird, a clandestine CIA media infiltration campaign that involved bribing hundreds of journalists to publish fake stories at the CIA's request. During the Cold War, CIA propaganda disparaged communist ideologies. Today, it promotes radical ideas that bring us closer to the Great Reset, which is based on a technocratic economic system instead. Most of the organizations claiming to promote truth and counter disinformation are, in fact, doing the exact opposite. The latest and most blatant example. Let me pass this article on so you could follow along too if you want. Sorry about that, folks. To bring us closer to the Great Reset, which is based on a technocratic economic system instead. Most of the organizations claiming to promote truth and counter disinformation are, in fact, doing the exact opposite. The latest and most blatant example for this was the Biden administration's Ministry of Truth. The Disinformation Governance Board, set up by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Evidence shows scholars and academics who speak out against the establishment narrative on the conflict between Russia and Ukraine are being targeted by media personalities working hand in hand with the intelligence apparatus. How the media secretly carries out assassinations for the assignments for the CIA. Okay. I don't know where that first. Oh, that was just a breakdown of the story itself that I'm going to get into now. Analysis by Dr. Joseph McCullough. On June 21st, 2022, Gray Zone article, British security state collaborator Paul Mason's war on rogue academics exposed, shines a great big light on what the anti-disinformation industry is really all about. Spoiler alert, it has nothing to do with protecting a gullible public from information that might cause them to make bad or unhealthy choices. No, it's about creating and directing a narrative for the purpose of controlling the population and hiding truths that might overthrow the ruling cabal and its plans for one world government. what people don't actually realize is knowledge is power. Knowledge is also control. You don't have to control every single man or woman in a military or in a police force. You only have to control the top tiers of the hierarchy. The rest will fall in line, as we have seen over time and time again. Operation Mockingbird. Propaganda is as old as humanity itself, but the modern version of it can be traced back to 1948, when the CIA's Office of Special Projects launched Operation Mockingbird, a clandestine CIA media infiltration campaign that involved bribing hundreds of journalists to publish fake stories at the CIA's request. The CIA reportedly spent over $1 billion a year, about one-third of its entire budget, on this enterprise. CIA recruited journalists worked in most major news operations, including CBS News, Time, Life, Newsweek, and the New York Times, just to name a few. Later on, the campaign expanded to include foreign media as well, as reported by the Free Press. In 1976, Senator Frank Church's investigation into the CIA exposed their corruption of the media. The tactic was straightforward. False news reports or propaganda would be provided by CIA writers to knowing and unknowing reporters who would simply repeat the falsehoods over and over again. During the Cold War, the CIA propaganda disparaged communist ideologies. Today, it promotes radical ideas to bring us closer to the Great Reset, which is based on a technocratic economic system instead. Media is more controlled than ever. While Operation Mockingbird is said to have been... I'm going to see what this does here. See if I can highlight this and see if I can see it any better. It's a little bit light, so I need to highlight it, I think. While Operation Mockingbird is said to have officially dismantled, there's plenty of evidence to suggest it's still in operation. If anything, the system has only gotten more efficient and effective, as the number of major media outlets has shrunk over these past decades, and the vast majority of journalists and news anchors simply parrot what's reported by the three global news agencies. What's more, the CIA isn't the only intelligence agency using the media for its own propaganda purposes. The intelligence agencies in other countries do it too. Well, they have to, because I know this is just my opinion, but all of the so-called countries, they're all in on it. They all work together, all of their intelligence agencies, all of their militaries, all of their governments, they all work together. I don't know if anybody knew, but every single bit of information that is gathered by any intelligence service of any country gets passed through AP and Reuters, and then it gets passed on to whichever particular brand of media that wants to pick it up, put their little spin on it, their little right wing spin or their little left wing spin. For example, leaked documents reveal Reuters and BBC News received multi-million-dollar contracts to advance a covert propaganda program by the British Foreign and Commonwealth Office, FCO, aimed at weakening Russia's influence over its neighbors. You can learn more about this in Reuters and BBC caught taking money for a propaganda campaign. And I'm just taking a few seconds to highlight the next part I'm going to read. So, one of the biggest changes we're seeing right now that the most of the world's intelligence agencies are controlling media in the same direction, toward the Great Reset and the technocratic control of the global population. That's why we're seeing the same narratives playing all over the world. In 1977, Carl Bernstein wrote a 75-page article for Rolling Stone that exposed the CIA's involvement with the media in even greater detail. Those were the days when Rolling Stone actually did decent investigative journalism. Today, they are one of the largest spreaders of government disinformation. And highlight this. It's the opposite of the way they claim it is. It's no small irony that most of the organizations claiming to promote truth and counter disinformation are in fact doing the exact opposite. The latest and most blatant example of this was the Biden administration's Ministry of Truth, the Disinformation Governance Board set up by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. It didn't quite go as planned, though. It was announced, and he canceled just as quickly in the face of political and public backlash. The Orwellian connotations were just so blatant. Few were able to dismiss them. Perhaps they overestimated the level of brainwashing achieved over the past 2 years. They probably thought they could get away with what amounts to ripping up the U.S. Constitution in front of everyone's face. But the time was not yet ripe for that kind of frontal assault. If anything, it worked against them because many have suspected government uses media and big tech to censor and control narratives. In the past 2 years have provided undeniable evidence of that reality. So the attempt to formulate that unlawful influence completely failed for now. When George W. Bush was still in control of the regime, it was reported that he was spending over $8 billion a year for pro-government propaganda and anti-us, for lack of a better word, propaganda. I'm sure that over the however many years that's been, 16 now, I'm sure that number is probably quadrupled. But I don't know. I'm digressing a little bit there. Covert assault on academics. Getting back to the Gray Zone story, Paul Mason, one of the Britain's most prominent alleged left-wing journalists and other covert helpers, were found to have targeted scholars and academics who spoke out against the establishment narrative on the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. As explained by Jimmy Dore in the featured video, Mason is basically pretending to be a left-leaning journalist, but is working with the intelligence community to destroy political opponents. Emails obtained by the Gray Zone and reviewed by Dore shows Mason is in favor of relentless deplatforming, getting people kicked off PayPal, demonetized by YouTube, and so on. The Gray Zone writes, and I'm going to highlight this quick. Amidst his campaign to neutralize the UK anti-war left, Paul Mason declared in an email to several academics willing to inform on and undermine their own colleagues. The far-left rogue academics is who I'm after. The important task is to quarantine their soft influencers and expose, stigmatize the hard ideologists. Mason's fishing expedition was conducted in apparent coordination with Andy Price, a senior British intelligence official involved in a series of malign information warfare and censorship initiatives. The journalist's key academic enabler, self-styled counter-disinformation researcher Emma Bryant, not only helped further his campaign to target anti-war figures, but finished bogus claims about one individual, which appears to have inspired a BBC smear piece. Many of these she snitched on considered her a colleague and even a comrade. Well, that's a odd choice of a word. Comrade. The gray zone details how Bryant introduced Mason with two individuals who would have been able to furnish a meme tracing tool to determine their source. Mason specifically wanted to find out who in Britain denies the Buka massacre, aka thinks it's a false flag, and or believes Russia's justifications for the invasion of Ukraine. Ironically, the people Mason was most eager to trap weren't falling into it, as they weren't publicly discussing their views. Bryant then offered to provide Mason with the names of main organizers of an academic mailing list called Organized Persuasive Communication, run by Piers Robinson, described by Gray Zone as a dissident academic who has been relentlessly targeted in UK mainstream media. Robinson was shocked to learn that the participant of his listserv was ratting out fellow members to a security state collaborator. The Grace Zone writes, "I'm dismayed that a former colleague whom I have supported over the years appears to have abused an academic listserv," Robinson told the Gray Zone. Rather than engaging in open debate and critique, which would have been scholarly and ethical thing to do, Bryant has instead sought to support what seems to be underhand and nefarious attempts to damage reputations and silence critics. In the featured Jimmy Dore video, Dore interviews Max Blumenthal, a Gray Zone contributor, about this and related stories they've written about Mason and his cohort relationships with the British government. Blumenthal tells how the Gray Zone was censored by YouTube for the first time ever after they started exposing Mason, and it seems clear YouTube was responding to demands by Mason himself. This suggests he is indeed working for or with British intelligence. We've seen the same kind of censoring at the time of the U.S. government. And I'm going to have to see how much I have left here. Well, I'm going to see if I just can't go through this quickly. Do only have about 7 minutes left. A case of the pot calling the kettle black. One of the people signed out, by Bryant as a Russian collaborator was Greg Simons, a communications researcher at Sweden's Uppsala University, specializing in Russia media, mass media, whose only crime was filling out and circulating a survey relating the conflicts and the war on the benefit of the Russian academic who was working on the research paper. Well, I can't take my time, Andy. I've got to go to pool here in a little bit. Not even the Russian academic could be rightly accused of being a threat to democracy, as he played a key role in the Soviet president Mikhail Gorbachev's liberalization agenda, freeing political prisoners, ending regulations of foreign travel, and enshrining fundamental rights in the country's new constitution. The gray zone rights, commenting on Bryant's betrayal, Simons told the gray zone, "This puts a big spotlight on the professional integrity and knowledge of Bryant, who spreads propaganda and misinformation on people. Something claims on her Twitter profile to fight it. Also demonstrates a clear lack of personal integrity and defiance in knowledge of topics that she claims to be an expert in. The spook behind it all, behind Mason's and Bryant's pet project to neutralize the UK's grassroots anti-war left, is Andy Price, founding director of the Counter Disinformation and Media Development Program at the British Foreign Office. In 2018, Price was also exposed as a key player in the scandalous MI6 military intelligence project known as Integrity Initiative, the Gray Zone Rights. A January 2020 European Commission event listing identifies Bryce as the head of public diplomacy in UKREP, London's diplomatic mission to the EU. However, the same month, Price appeared at the EU event. UKREP was replaced with a new office, the UK mission to Europe, and Price has not been publicly mentioned in any official capacity since. So where did he go? In his communications with Mason, Price mentions his personal involvement as activities placing him at the forefront of London's public relations strategy on the Ukraine crisis, which is delivered by the recently formed government information cell and counter disinformation unit, staffed by spies and charged with dismantling intelligence through the media and other forms for the purpose of information warfare. Both the units have operated in highly clandestine fashions, largely unknown to the public. They have been a pivotal part of NATO's proxy war in Ukraine. Conspiracy theorist is a propaganda smear. Over the past 2 years, the terms conspiracy theorist and conspiracy theory have become household terms for anything and everyone who doesn't agree with whatever crazy story the media claim to be fact. Few seem to realize that in using these terms, they fall into for the oldest propaganda methods there is. When you can't argue with the facts, attack the person delivering them. That's called a straw man attack. Calling someone a conspiracy theorist is a strategy. That's George Bush Jr. coming out there. Is a strategy aimed at silencing dissent in general and truth in particular, plain and simple. Belittling people and making them look silly, stupid, ignorant, gullible, or incompetent are classic attack strategies by propagandists who don't really have a leg to stand on otherwise. It's all about firing up people's negative emotions, which makes them less likely to sit back and evaluate both sides. George Bush Jr., we have a strategy. You know that, don't you? So calling someone a conspiracy theorist is a strategy aimed at silencing dissent and truth, in particular, plain and simple, in terms of health. COVID-19 reporting has taken censorship and media manipulation to brand new heights, exposing just all about, eclipsing just all about previous propaganda efforts. They don't even hide the bias anymore. Many believe the term conspiracy theorist was actually created by the CIA in 1967 to disqualify those who questioned the official version of the JFK assassination and doubted that his killer, Lee Harvey Oswald, had acted alone. It makes perfect sense since Oliver Stone has shared credible evidence that the CIA was behind the JFK assassination. When it comes to the COVID jab, for example, we know the U.S. government spent $1 billion on a media campaign to build public confidence in and uptake the injections using mainstream news outlets. In return for this paycheck, media rapidly lashed out to anyone who questioned the unsupported claim that the shots were safe and effective. As their crazy conspiracy theorist and ignorant science denier, a dangerous misinformation agent with a personal profit motive, a domestic terrorist hell-bent on maximizing the death toll, or all four. All the while, media never actually countered the data, showing the narrative had was riddled with holes and contradictory at its face. Okay. Jeez. Gonna run over a little bit here, but I can finish it. And I'm going to drop it just immediately after I do finish it, after I say goodbye, Annie. So, an example of how these kinds of smears have been and continue to be used by media. Consider June 19, 2022, regarding an article by Mark Townsend. He wrote, "The network of more than two dozen conspiracy theories, frequently backed by a coordinated Russian campaign, sent thousands of disinformation tweets to distort the reality of the Syrian conflict and deter intervention by the international community," new analysis reveals. As reported by the Hill video above, Townsend identified Gray Zone journalist Aaron Mate as the most prolific spreader of disinformation about the Syrian conflict among the 28 conspiracy theories identified. In a tweet, Mate responded in the article stating Townsend had failed to contact him with content, failed to provide any example of his alleged disinformation on the Syrian conflict, and failed to disclose the Institute of Strategic Dialogue. A think tank responsible for the analysis is funded by the U.S. government and U.K. governments and allied nations. According to The Hill, Townsend was on vacation and was available for comment, but Katie Halper, who co-hosts the Useful Idiots podcast with Mate, came across to discuss Townsend's attempted hack job. Perhaps this can be a teachable moment for Townsend, she said. Not only did Townsend violate three basic standards of journalism, but the article's main premises also based on a lie, Halper says. The Guardian actually corrected the initial headline, which read, "Russian-backed network of Syria conspiracy theorists identified," since there's no evidence of Russian backing any of these individuals. The headline was changed to a slightly less libelous, "Network of Syria conspiracy theories identified." Townsend's piece appeared to do nothing more than a government-backed, Mockingbird-style counterattack aimed at silencing Mate, who has been challenged by the official narrative about the alleged chemical attack in Douma, Syria. and even delivered remarks to the United Nations Security Council to the matter. And I'm going to skip a couple paragraphs here, folks, but the old guard is shooting for the controlled demolition of the old so they can transition to the new, which will be even more enslaving. But in order that silent sleight of hand to work, pesky truth tellers must be silenced and the populace kept intelligence sedated. Don't fall into that trap. One may avoid it, as to interpret smears for what they are, attempts to silence, and ask yourself what the propagandists don't want you to know. So, thanks everyone. I have run over a little bit, and that's my fault. I could have pontificated a little bit less. So, thanks everyone. I gotta find my mouse. Where is it? Okay. Thanks everyone. Until next time.